Hello and welcome to the Vic Teasol podcast, Voices in Teasol. I'm Melissa Barnes and I'm an associate professor at La Trobe University. Now, as many of you know, I usually co-host this podcast with Dr. Katrina Tour, but we're going to mix things up a little bit today. I'll be flying solo as host and Katrina will be answering the questions rather than asking them. So today, I'm delighted to be joined by two leading researchers in the field of digital literacies and language education, Dr. Katrina Tour from Monash University and Professor Mark Pegram from University of Western Australia. We'll be discussing their recent paper, Engaging English Language Learners in AI Literacy Practices, a Conceptual Framework and Practical Strategies for Educators. In this article, they explore why AI literacy matters and how teachers can support their students to develop it. So let's get started. Some would say that generative AI is quickly changing, or some would even say disrupting language learning and teaching as we know it. Therefore, the focus has been primarily on teachers and how they are coming to terms with AI or they're using it. So given this, I'm going to ask my guests today, why do you feel it's so important that we focus on students, particularly English language learners, and the need for them to develop AI literacy now?
Yes, we definitely saw a huge increase in the adoption of artificial intelligence in different contexts and in different domains of life. And this would include, you know, the very first generation of conversational AI chatbots such as Alexa or Google Assistant, which people use to ask questions and get answers. We can see a lot of AI embedded in social platforms, social media platforms, and it helps to curate content in different smart apps to manage learning analytics and so on and so forth. We can see a lot of AI use in governments and corporations where, for example, emails or chats or telephone calls are managed by AI rather than humans. AI is increasingly used in workplaces and people use AI to write emails and do codes, write articles, lesson plans, and many, many other things. And of course, in recent years, we have seen a newer generation of AI technologies such as generative AI, ChatGPT, Claude, Copilot, and many, many others. And many people use now those technologies, again, in educational settings, in workplaces, and everyday life to generate a wide range of written texts, but also images and videos. And of course, in this context, people who lack AI literacy or those skills, knowledge, and understandings to use such models, they will be really, really disadvantaged. So we can say that AI literacy is really important for adults. So people need to learn how to use AI to remain competitive in the workplace, but also navigate everyday life. For example, we know that by 2027, approximately 42% of business tasks will be automated. We also know that just in a few years, by 2030, AI will allow for early detection and diagnosis of different diseases. So we will see a greater use of in-home health monitoring devices which have AI, right? So then AI skills become really fundamental just to manage those everyday life activities, but also work tasks. If we talk about a younger generation of users, yes, and here we talk about students at schools, maybe university students. So we also see that AI skills can help them to minimize risks of exclusions from different opportunities which AI can offer in education, but also in society. And this can be accessing personalized learning tools, managing online life and future employment prospects. So that's why AI literacy is really important for everyone, but it's especially important for EAL learners. And by EAL learners, we mean international students, but also learners from migrant and refugee backgrounds who came to Australia. And it's important because it takes much longer to develop AI literacy for those groups. You know, those learners, they have to develop target language skills, which are integrated with technological skills. That's the intersection of digital skills and language skills. And that's why the earlier we start, the more time those students will have to develop AI literacy. And of course, those who do not have AI literacy skills, they may miss out on benefits, right, which AI can offer, but they can also be affected by negative impacts of AI, such as misinformation, bias, job automation, and so on and so forth.
Now, in your paper, you talk about AI literacy as being more than just technical skills. How do you define AI literacy for English language learners, and how is it different from digital literacy more broadly?
Yeah, this is a really important question to talk about, I think. So, first up, just a very quick comment on terminology. So, some people use the term digital literacy in the singular, but understanding it as a compound concept, whereas other people, like myself, would always use it in the plural. And the reason for using it in the plural and talking about digital literacies is just to emphasize the number of different skills, the number of different aspects, the number of different literacies that feed into this umbrella concept of digital literacies. And some of the common literacies that people might think about include things like multimodal literacy, information literacy, critical literacy. So these all sit under the umbrella of digital literacies, if you like. I would say that digital literacies in general are quite complex because typically they consist of at least three elements. So they're a kind of compound of individual skills or competencies, as well as individual attitudes or dispositions, as well as situated social practices, because of course, literacies are always enacted between people. So AI literacy is one literacy that sits under this umbrella of digital literacies. And even though I'm using that term in the singular, AI literacy, it is still a compound concept. So together with Katrina and another colleague of ours, Shem McDonald, we've created an AI literacy model that shows some of the main aspects of AI literacy. And our model has four domains. So the first domain is operational. So this has both conceptual and functional aspects, but essentially this is about understanding what AI is and also knowing where to access it, how to use it, and so on. The second domain is contextual. So this is about using AI to get the right kind of output that you're looking for your intended target audience in a particular context at a particular time. And the application of human emotional intelligence also comes through under this contextual domain. The third domain is critical, which also includes ethical issues. And this is about bringing a critical eye to bear on AI itself, as well as on the output of AI. And then the last domain is creative. And this is about, as the name suggests, being quite creative in the process with AI. So acting a bit like a collaborative partner and pushing AI to be a bit more innovative than it might otherwise be left to its own devices. So they're the four domains: operational, contextual, critical, and creative. Just one last thing I would say about this, something that we have to remember that's a bit different when we're talking about AI, especially generative AI, compared to past digital technologies, is that it has a relatively high level of agency. And so, therefore, it's really important that we always negotiate an appropriate balance between human agency and AI agency, because we don't want to just give away all of our human agency to AI and just rely on its output. So, this is where the critical and creative domains are especially important. So, we really need to bring critical and creative lenses to bear on this technology.
It's really helpful. Thanks for that, Mark. To really understand the different domains of AI literacy, it's helpful in understanding what it is, but also how you might develop it and seeing those different domains is really helpful. So let's shift a little bit. So, now that we have this base and the conceptual, how do we make this practical? So I'm going to go back to you, Katrina. What might AI literacy look like in a real classroom? And could you share maybe one of the lesson examples from your paper that teachers could try in their own classrooms or to adapt?
Well, teaching AI literacy can be organized in the same way as teaching digital literacies. Yes, it's building on the skills that teachers and students already have with the previous generation of digital technologies. And our article indeed provides a detailed overview and two examples of sequenced activities, yes, that can be used by teachers. We have one example in the paper for younger learners and another one for older groups of learners. But in general, we think that the most productive way to teach AI literacy is through a situational or situated learning approach. And Mark was talking about digital understanding digital literacies as situated practice. So a situated learning approach is an approach which is embedded in real or simulated social context. So usually this learning has a true purpose and an authentic experience. So maybe a starting point for teachers will be to think about an authentic experience with AI for their group of students. So for example, for a younger group of learners, it can be posting a question about a science or a history topic that students are curious about or they have to write about, and then use AI to generate an answer. For adult learners, it can be, for example, writing a cover letter for a job application, or maybe writing an email for a real estate agent. So just identifying those experiences can be really helpful to narrow this down rather than trying to embrace all AI skills and all AI understandings. So, for example, once we identify this authentic practice with AI, then teachers can use our model to break down the skills, knowledge, and understandings that students need to engage in practice effectively, and but also critically and creatively. And if we take this example of the cover letter, for example, from the paper, we can start just by introducing cover letters as an idea if it's a new concept to students, but also introducing AI platforms which can be useful for this, for example, ChatGPT. And within this context, teachers can help learners to set up personal accounts. If it's new technology for learners, they can also help to develop and consolidate relevant vocabulary to work with AI, for example, AI chatbot prompt. These can be new concepts to all the learners, but they're fundamental to effective use of generative AI. And then together, learners and teachers can explore the interface of the platform and how to navigate it. So it's building these operational skills that Mark was talking about. Once those operational skills are more or less in place, then maybe the next step would be working with some prompts and helping learners to understand how to create a prompt and how to create an effective prompt. Because what we know, the effectiveness of the prompt will shape the quality of the response from AI. And at this stage, perhaps it would be useful to explore and analyze some examples of prompts which can be used for generating cover letters. And having those discussions about what's appropriate or not appropriate. And again, Mark was talking about these skills and understanding in the context of contextual domain. For example, one of the questions which can be discussed, is it important to be polite with generative AI? Do you have to say please? Do you have to say thank you? So these are interesting conversations which, again, are building students' understanding of how to use AI. Then obviously, students need experience of generating a cover letter with ChatGPT or any other platforms. And then here, a teacher can provide a real example of job advertisement for the student, and they can work together or individually and develop a prompt and generate a cover letter. And then a wide range of activities can be used with this cover letter, so students can compare and critique their letters because obviously there will be different outcomes for different groups. They can ask students to rank letters, or they can choose the best one and justify their choices. So it will be more about evaluating the content and the outcome of generative AI. We also think that in the context of working with EAL students, it would be useful to capitalize on their home languages and capacity of AI to work with different languages. So another great activity which teachers can use is translating cover letters and then analyzing similarities and differences in languages through cross-linguistic analysis. And it can be done in relation to the content writing style as well. It will be a great exercise for students. And of course, not forgetting about creative domain, there are some opportunities for creative work, and learners can be provided with a fantasy job application scenario, and they again can ask AI to create a cover letter that stands out. So, but here will be a bit of tension between what's appropriate, what's really creative, and if it's really meaningful and appropriate for the context of the job application.
Thanks so much, Katrina, for those examples. It did make me think that I will always be polite to AI just because it's being recorded. So, that's been my go-to. But that's really helpful to kind of particularly look at some of those things where they can use those analytical skills as well as, and critical skills as well as those creative opportunities to kind of use AI for that. Now, thinking more about that idea of being critical of AI, Mark, I'm going to go back to you and ask you a bit more to kind of pull out that understanding of the conceptual model that really kind of highlights the importance of being critical of AI. Your conceptual model really focuses on things like spotting bias and misinformation. What are some practical strategies, that teachers can use to help students develop that critical stance?
Yeah, so critical is the key word here for sure. And this is certainly the critical domain in our model. Yeah, there are a number of different strategies I think that teachers can use. So I'll just mention several of the key ones. The first is that we as educators, but also our students, of course, ultimately need to get into the habit of routinely interrogating AI output. So just looking at the output and evaluating how accurate it seems to be, how relevant it seems to be. And sometimes we can do this just on the basis of our real-world knowledge. So I was talking to a colleague recently who mentioned that she was running a session with English language teachers, and she did an exercise where she got them to write a poem about their local area. And then they worked in groups with ChatGPT and got ChatGPT to write a poem about the local area. And what the teachers immediately noticed was that ChatGPT didn't know the local area very well, and there were some things that were slightly off there. So sometimes just our real-world knowledge is enough to evaluate what's coming out to say, yeah, this is not quite right. Of course, other times we might be working on a topic that we don't know very much about, and there we'll need to go back to the old strategy of triangulating different sources. So really comparing what comes out of ChatGPT or any other AI chatbot with what we might find in, let's say, a Google search, bearing in mind, of course, that we are now seeing a bit of a fusion between generative AI and search, but you can still do a regular old-fashioned search if you want to. Of course, you could go to a book as well, but essentially it's about comparing different sources. So that's one strategy. So getting into the habit of routinely interrogating AI output. A second strategy is to try to get into the habit of recognizing bias, and you obviously mentioned that term a moment ago. You can do this in text-based exercises, but I actually think image-based exercises are a really good entry point here in the classroom. So, to draw an example from the Generative AI Idea Pack for English language teachers, which is a free publication freely available from Cambridge University Press, came out last year. There's one exercise there where they suggest that we could get our students to use an AI image generator to create images of a particular nationality or a set of nationalities, starting with their own nationality. And of course, what students will immediately see is that what comes through in those images is a whole range of stereotypes. There are homogenizing tendencies there. And so it's a good idea to get students to start by critiquing images of their own nationality, and then, of course, to apply those same critical skills, those critical lenses, to other nationalities as they take the exercise further. So that's about recognizing bias, getting into that habit. The third strategy I would mention is getting into the habit of making informed language choices. And Katrina talked before about the importance of prompting, getting your prompts right. And in fact, we're hearing people now talking about prompt literacy. So, really, in many ways, this is a newer version of what we used to call search literacy. So, the idea that you have to get your search terms exactly right in order to get the right output. And it's very much the same with prompting an AI chatbot. So, you need to use the right language, the right amount of context, to give information about the tone, the type of output that you expect. And it's often an iterative process. So, we know that that can make a very big difference to the output that you get. So, I would say that those are three really major strategies that teachers can think about employing in the classroom. There are various exercises that could be tied into all of them. So it's interrogating AI output, recognizing bias, and then making these informed language choices.
Very interesting. Thanks for that, Mark. So to wrap things up, we have one more question. So if an educator is listening today and really wants to take some key takeaway messages from your work, what would it be?
I think it's really important to start including AI literacy in the curriculum. My suggestions would be for the teachers listening today, do not wait. Include AI literacy in your curriculum right now, because what we currently know from our research is that AI divide is widening. It means it becomes really bigger between those who can use AI and those who can't use AI, and students and AI learners are usually on the side or in the group of those who cannot use it. It's really important to explore what students already know about AI and what they do. And this can be used to identify their needs, but also to identify their strengths on which you can build to start your work with AI literacy. And of course, it can be a very overwhelming topic. So that's why it's important to start small. And we suggest to use or modify some of the examples in our paper and just give it a go.
Yeah, and building on what Katrina has just said, I would say it's important to see it as an iterative process. you're not going to be able to develop AI literacy as an educator or a student overnight. So it involves experimentation, it involves trial and error, and it's something that you proceed towards, that level of AI literacy that you're aiming for. That's something that you proceed towards step by step. I think it's also really important that we as educators should be prepared to learn alongside our students. I think this is good advice actually for digital technologies in general, but it's perhaps particularly important with AI technologies because they are proliferating at an incredible rate. So there are new services appearing daily. We can't possibly keep up with all of them, but we can learn alongside our students. We can critique these services alongside our students, and I think that's good for us and for them. And I think going back to something that I mentioned earlier, I would say it's also really important to always bear in mind the importance of building human agency vis-a-vis AI. We need to do that as teachers. We need to help our students to do that. And that's where those critical and creative domains in particular are very, very important. And I'd probably wrap up by saying something that Katrina and I wrote in an encyclopedia entry that we co-authored with a colleague of ours, Shem McDonald, earlier this year, where we said, we think the way that we should see AI, the way that we do see AI, is essentially as a useful but capricious partner. So someone who's great to chat with, but dangerous to trust completely.
That's a very nice way to put it. Thank you both for sharing your insights. It's really been fascinating to hear how AI literacy can be approached in ways that not only support English language learning, but also empower students to critically and creatively engage with technology. For listeners who'd like to know more, you can find the link to the full paper, in the podcast description. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time on the Vic TESOL podcast, Voices in TESOL.